Okay, so it's Friday night. We're not doing anything because we're being boring. Okay, so this is my mum. Ma, what are you doing tonight?
Having a pizza and chilling and relaxing.
And is that a usual night for you?
Yes.
Walking up my stairs. Chantelle's lying in bed on the phone. Say hello, Chantelle.
Hello, Chantelle.
Hello to the people.
To the people.
Woo!
Woo! Chantelle's on the phone. Say hello, Shannon.
How do you stop lagging?
Say hello, Shannon. Hello. Okay. Looking around my room, I'm going to describe Chantelle right now. Chantelle is about 5'4". She's tan at the moment because she's doing some beds. She has long black hair, brown eyes. She's...
Oh, Jay's got her scan, didn't she?
I'd say she's alright. Like, she's not the best looking. And I'm going to describe myself. I'm about 5'5". Have brown hair, brown eyes. I'm tan.
This is my sister, Nadia. She's 16. And I'm 10 months older than her. And that means she's 10 months younger than me. And
this is my sister Chantelle. She's 17. She's 10 months older than me. So that I'm 10 months younger than her.
And we hang around with each other.
Yeah,
we have to stay friends.
Ever since you're little, we always had to stay friends.
Yeah. Some people think it's weird, but
it's not really, no.
Yeah.
Like, we still fight and all the time. Like,
Shanadia is a nickname. Because Chantelle is Chantelle and Nadia is Nadia, so we just say Shanadia, you know, because they're very close. The two of them are very close together. And we call them Shanadia. So it'll be two little sisters now.
I think that a lot of sisters obviously would spend a lot of time together. It's just that me and Nat, it's not that, like, we just probably spend just as much time as other sisters would together, like, when they were younger. It's just because we knew what was going on, it made us closer.
Because we were in the foster homes together and we were spending so much time together, we kind of relied on each other because we didn't really have any of our other family members. Like, I remember I always used to cry for you, man. And Chantelle used to always be like, oh, like everything's going to be okay, you know. I believed her, obviously, because she always made me feel like, because I didn't have any other family members, so I was so close to Chantelle and she was my only family member, so... Okay, and I'm gonna stand in my room right now and I'm gonna subscribe my room. It's pink and it has two wardrobes, one for me, one for Chanel. And I'm looking at my fish Fabian Squishy right now. Say hello to the people, Fabian Squishy.
Hello to the people from Fish World.
Okay.
Can you describe what Coolock was like when you were young?
I have a lot of fond memories of Coolock because it was a different area and I was the new kid and everybody wants to be my friend, and there wasn't a lot of drugs and things like that then. You know, there wasn't anything like that.
Where we live is kind of quiet sometimes. We don't know too many people around, and I like that. That's what I like about where I live. Like, we know people in our cul-de-sac and some down there, but... I just like it being quiet, really.
I suppose it'd be the same thing as kids today, you know, just go out and hang out with your friends, that type of thing. We'd hang around the corner, buy loose cigarettes in the shop. That was probably the worst thing we ever done, was smoked, you know, buy a loose cigarette. Back then, that was a bad thing to do. That's the worst thing we done back then.
I like that I'm close to my friends, that's pretty much it. I think the area is not too bad now. Like, it has its days, obviously, same as other places, but yeah, no, just that I'm close to my friends. Like, we all live near to each other, do you know what I mean? So it's easy.
I remember the day we moved and there was a horse in the house that we moved into. A big horse, they'd left a horse in the house. Just a horror. The house was very run down and in a bad way, and I don't know if it was a prank or what, but there was a horse and horse's dirt all over the place. You know, we thought it was funny. My mother didn't think it was funny, but we did. You know, we were kids. So it was an exciting time. And there was no electricity or anything like that. We had no beds, and we all slept on a mattress on the floor with coats over us. So it's a bit of an adventure, really.
Okay, so it's Thursday and it's 2:20, and I'm not really doing anything, just sitting in Ma's room. I'm about to listen to the Get a Life 101, and I listened to a bit of it so far, and it sounds really good. It sounds like they had a very tough life. Yeah, I hope me and Chantelle's documentary is as successful as theirs. I think days are better nowadays. Money situations are better. Not so good, but better than it was back then. Or better than it is where they live. It doesn't sound like they have a very good... They live in a very good area.
I'd like to live somewhere where all my friends live close to me, and somewhere where they have like a lot of communities around, like they have like swimming pools and shopping centres and stuff like that you can do, like daily things that you can do, like there's something to do every day, and like bad things like people getting stabbed and shot. And that's like I wouldn't like to like stuff like I didn't don't have to hear about it.
Yeah, a few years ago, someone just delaying up. Up the road.
Last year, was it?
It seems like it was longer. But somebody got shot up there, and it was weird. I didn't see it or anything, but it's very weird because somebody did just get shot up the road from me, and you're thinking if you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, anything could have happened.
This area, nearly all these houses are corporation houses. So people that have been getting these houses, corporation houses, they extend to places like Darndale, Coolock. They're corporation houses. So these are classed as bad areas. Whereas you'd get the odd few in like Donnymead and stuff like that. And you'd get corporation houses in like Kilbarrick. But good areas like Donnymead and like Houghton all, you wouldn't find many corporation houses, but it only is where there is a lot of houses like this where there is stuff like this does go on.
Chantelle went into school the next day and everybody was saying to her, what time did you go home at? Or about 7, and they were like, did you not see any of the police? And Chantelle was like, no. And I was like, yeah, we did see police actually, because some Polish fella, he was after getting murdered, yeah, but he got kicked to death, and even if you walk through the factories now, at the stone, there's a stone there where he got killed, and you have all memorial things, and it's not very nice walking through that, and you see that and you think I was just a few hours away from that. They probably won't even do anything because it's Sunday and it's hangover day. Nobody does anything on Sunday.
Here's the man. Say hello to the people.
Morning, people.
Say hello to the people.
Morning, people.
That was me, Dad. And not doing anything, just walking around the house. Walk. Chantelle is making breakfast at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And what is she making? She has toast with about 4 layers of butter.
I don't like this butter.
She doesn't like that butter. What butter is it?
The cheap stuff.
Chantelle's now chopping up toast. She's making scrambled egg and toast for her and my dad. And say hello to the people, Chantelle.
Hello, people.
To the people.
To the people.
Woo, to the people. Good morning, people. Woo. Okay, and this is Pepper.
We like Chantelle likes loads of pepper. It's called whole black peppercorn grinder. It's alright. What did you think your future would be like? Obviously, you didn't see all that you were going to be on drugs and all. Did you ever think that would ever happen to you?
God no. I mean, like, I always thought like I'd meet a handsome man that had loads of money and we'd get married and we'd have kids and he'd look after me.
And how old were you, do you think, when you got involved with heavy drugs?
I was 21 when I got involved in heavy drugs.
How much drug was that?
Heroin. I started off smoking and the habit got bigger and bigger and then I was injecting. Because you would use less heroin, you wouldn't be using as much, and you would get your hit quicker.
You can tell someone's using heroin by like a mile away, I'd say, because just by their posture, like the way they stand, they like, what's that word again? Do you know if they're standing and they, what's the word? Do you know, like they kind of.
Sway,
yeah, that's the word. Like they kind of sway, and the way their eyes are, they'd be like all red and bloodshot, and just the way they look. Really, I think all drug dealers, all people that are on drugs look the same. Like, because I don't know what it's obviously what the drugs do to them. They're probably not sleeping, and you'll know that. And they're not dressing too well anymore, they're not washing themselves anymore, and they just don't really care about their appearance, like, so you'd really know, like, you'd really, really notice that someone's on drugs.
So what happened was, there was a drought on and we couldn't get much heroin. So I think we had a bag between us and my husband's friend was there and we knew we were going to be sick, it wouldn't last us. And he was using and he says, you're going to have to inject. And he gave us a turn on each.
What to do?
What did it do? It made us better. But we were using less heroin, so we start banging then.
Would that have not been more dangerous though?
It was more dangerous, yeah. When I think back, like, a lot of us use needles after each other. You were more prone to overdose. I never did overdose, and I did eventually catch hepatitis, but thank God I never caught anything else. I was lucky.
When did your mom figure out that you were doing all this?
I don't really know, to be honest. I can't really remember. But I just know I had another two children along the line. Through my addiction, I had another two children. And my family became very concerned and used to come up regularly to, you know, make sure the kids were fed and things like that, because I wouldn't be looking after them properly. And then my mother and family intervened and said they were taking the children. And they took the children, that's when, you know, they suddenly realised it was a big problem.
And how did you feel when you took your kids?
I was upset, but I knew that the kids were well looked after. I knew that I could see them when I wanted. So, if anything, I think my habit got worse then. Because I had no responsibilities.
I had no kids to look after.
I had no kids to look after now.
So me and Chantelle are here, and we're just starting our interview. So Chantelle, we just had midterm. What did you think of the midterm?
Yeah, it was actually good.
And did you do anything good over the midterm?
I didn't really do anything that, like, nothing big. I just went out with my friends and that.
And did you just go anywhere good, like?
I went out a few times. Like we just went to a few parties, stuff like that.
Parties, and was there many teenagers your age there?
There was a sunny day. I think it was last Wednesday, where because it was sunny, just about 100 kids, just I think everybody just got, because it was sunny out, everybody just decided to go to Clongriffin Park, and there was about 100 people there, 100 teenagers, like.
And was there alcohol or any drugs involved?
Yeah, not everybody was drinking now, but yeah, there was a good few. I saw a good few people drinking, I didn't see that many drugs. I got offered drugs by one person. I said no though, but I didn't see anybody actually taking any drugs.
And how do you feel when that person offered you drugs?
I don't know. Like I hate stuff like that, and I don't like being around things like that. But I don't know. You're bound to bump into stuff like that sooner or later, I suppose. Like, so it's not the first time I got offered it. Like, I'm sure it won't be the last either. I just say no. Just, you know, just stay away from the person who asked me. Keep myself out of trouble. Like.
Can you remember when you first became aware of drugs?
When I went to secondary school, probably at the age of 14, I walked into the toilets and girls were sniffing aerosol cans, and they said to me, try this, and I tried it. They used to sniff Tipex tinners and things like that as well. It wasn't really a thing that I got into. Done it a couple of times and that was it. But the drinking would have come into it then. David used to have a disco. You'd have to be over 16, but we'd get dressed up and we'd go to the disco. And we'd all be drinking before, you know, and go partying afterwards.
Where would you get the drink?
We'd get other people. We'd hang around outside the off-licence and ask people, you know, to go and get it for us. Sometimes they said no, sometimes they said yeah. Or if your mother and father had drink in the house, you know, you'd take it out of the house. But my mother and father didn't. So we'd hang around at the off-licence and ask people to buy it for us. And that's how we got the drink.
At this age, everybody's... the age now, like, you'd be very surprised. A lot of people are on drugs. Not heavy drugs, as in, like gear and all. But, like, a lot of people... I go to a lot of parties,
I go to a lot of parties, and you'd be surprised. There's always people doing stuff, like... Whether it's just like having a joint or like doing like snowblow or coke or whatever it is, there's always something.
No, the drugs would be a concern, but again, we come together and we talk. My kids are very open with me, you know. We talk about things like that, and again, like, they have come home and they have told me they've been at parties and there's drugs, you know, and that they can come here and they could say that to me. So I think, you know, we do have an understanding between us.
Like it's everywhere. Like it's always.
You'd be surprised. You'd actually be very surprised.
You're always getting offered it. I know. I think it is peer pressure as well. Like, just say we're at a party and then some fella's like to this young one, and the young one likes the fella or something. He's like, well, do you want some of this? And she's like, no, not really. He'd be like, oh, no way. Like, no way. You don't like that. You're a little baby or something. You know, you do it just that kind of way. Like, and I have seen a lot of that happening a lot of times. Do you know what I mean?
Like you were like, we're saying this to you and you're probably very surprised what we're saying, like, but a lot of kids our age, like, most kids are, like, doing it, most teenagers, like, are doing it.
I'm not, like, sometimes I do think they'll give in and these things will happen, you know, they take drugs, but I just hope that they continue to come and talk to me and that they can always come and talk to me, even if they did pick up and use a drug, that they can come and talk to me.
I've talked to a lot of people who were drug dealers, and all of them really say the same thing. Like, there was no jobs gone, and that's not really an excuse, but when you're sitting around bored and you're not making any money and maybe your ma's going on at you for stuff, and then you could make what like €500 in a day by just going out and doing this one thing for like one of your friends or something, and everybody likes the mad rush of it, like the adrenaline that, like, just what you get out of it. Like, I know a lot of people that do it, just, and it is just because there is no jobs going on, you have nothing better to do, and it is mostly in areas like this because
as I said, there's not a lot of money. So you do, like, so they would turn to stuff like that.
Right, so we went out last night and we end up drinking. We're only in now. We stayed in my friend's house. It was a good night, but my friend got brought down to the police station because she hopped a taxi, like jumping out without paying for her. And the taxi driver brought down to the police station. She had to pay for it and everything. Her mom had to go down and collect her. But other than that, yeah, it was a good night. Bit messy, but not too bad. Yeah, today I think we're just gonna go on a walk with my friends.
You know, they're going out and they're hanging out with their friends and they're going to discos, just like we went to Kayleigh's, you know.
It's not really a big deal, drink, really.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't class drink as in the same boat as drugs. I think I'm just 18 now, like, so obviously it's illegal for me to drink, but I'm 18 in 6 months, so yeah.
The only difference I would say now is it's easier for them to be getting into pubs and clubs and things like that, you know, and I'd be very fearful around that when they go out. That someone could spike their drinks or things like that. You know, I don't like them going out, but it's about educating them. And that they could say, well, Mum, look, this is what we're doing. They're not afraid to tell me what to do. And I mightn't like it, but I could say, well, right, you need to be home at a certain time. You need to text me. You need to call me. You know, so it's just about everybody communicating and understanding that this is what my mum said and this is what we have to do.
We wouldn't drink for, do you know what I mean, just casual drinking. Well, I wouldn't see that as serious.
Some I think people most teenagers do drink.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't see that as I wouldn't see that in the same boat as drugs, no.
You know, it was like myself, we were going to the Kayleigh's and the discos were there before all the kids, so we'd get dressed up and do makeup and, you know, hope the bouncers would let us in.
I'd never be caught dead in a younger, like, underage disco, never. No chance.
Because, I don't know, it's like, we don't hang around with people that age group and that it's people my age would be going out. Everybody my age wouldn't be caught dead in that young disco. Yeah, obviously you get the odd few, but nobody 17, you wouldn't catch a 17-year-old in a disco like that. They'd be going out, like, do you know what I mean?
What do you do for fun around Coolock?
What?
What do you do for fun? Like, what do you do to have fun?
Well, I play with my friends.
What do you do with your friends?
Like, we play football or sometimes we spy on people. We sing, we pretend to sing and everything.
You spy on? How do you do that?
Well, we used to spy on people from Romania around the corner. Oh. They used to have big parties.
And is that fun then?
Yeah, but the last time they had a party was ages ago.
He's not getting in trouble for that?
Well, we did at one man. We was going to get the police involved and everything, and we stopped doing it, but, like, we're not doing anything. He was trying to get sued or something. I don't know what he was trying to do.
So, absolute dodge?
Yeah.
Dodge, dodge, dodge. Okay, so, walking down my stairs, walk, walk, walk. Okay, yeah, so we're just gonna all sit in and get pizza tonight. Watch a movie maybe. And that's about it. Very, very boring Friday night. Me and Stella usually out getting knocked over with the girlos.
And our little brother Nad, what kind of things do you think he got up to the midterm? Do you think he'd have a good midterm as well?
I think he did, yeah. He just played out with his friends and played football and all, really.
Yeah. Do you ever, Nadia, like, looking outside, like, right now, I see a load of little kids playing football. There's about five little kids outside just, and it looks like they're having great crack with just a football. Like, do you wish you could go out and just do something like that instead of just sitting here on the computer?
I actually really wish I could, yeah. Like kids just come in from school, to throw on anything, just go out and play football. I wish I could do that again, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I do look out the window, like, on, you know, when it's cold out or something, or freezing, I do look out my window and I wish I could just go out and play, like, because I'm sitting in my house doing nothing. Wish I could just go out and just play a game of Pats or something, like I could when I was a kid.
They look like they're having so much fun and they're just playing a football game, like.
Yeah.
Enough, there is youth clubs and stuff that you can go to, but you know, even if you don't want to go on them, there's nothing else.
I don't think there's any activities. I think that you'd have to just make your own thing to do, like go on a walk with your friends, sit in the park, sit in somewhere, but that's the only thing that won't cost
you
to do
unless
something.
You joined like a youth club or something, yeah. And being honest, yeah, I actually was in a youth club last summer, but I think I went to the actual youth centre once, and then I got texts and they were going out and stuff, like we went paintballing, and then the next time we went like prayer jumping and like jet skiing and all that was actually great, like, but saying that again, me friends wouldn't do that because the youth club that we were in was in Kilmore, and my friends, like some of them live in Darndale, and that's too far to get to and from, do you know what I mean? It's a hike, like, it's, yeah, so they wouldn't do that, like, and not only that, they do again, they think they're too old for it. Besides the youth clubs, there's nothing else that we can do. Everything you do involves money, like, you have to have money to do everything, like, yeah, like, if you want to go to the pictures, that's money. If you want to go to, I don't know, like, the Plex or something, like, that's money. If you want
to go for something
to eat, even if you want to go to money. The beach or something, that's money. Like, you can't just go to the beach with no money. Like, you need bus fare or whatever, and then you get hungry and you need money for food and all. It's like, and most of the time, like, you can't be doing stuff like that every day because nobody has money like that for this kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Unless you're walking places and all, everywhere's too far, really.
Yeah.
Like, do you want you to go to the club, and do you have those fun bits, but there's boring bits as well, and do you want you to talk about stuff, and I don't know, just, yeah, it's just not really that interesting.
You don't want to be going to Scouts Den and Girl Guides and things like that, you know, they like to think they're mature, and, you know, they want to be doing more mature things.
Hello, people. Me and Chanel are only in from school. We're not off till 4, but we bunked off because we are mad. So, people, hey, hello. Okay, so yeah, we're only in from school. I brought the recorder in. I was going to record, but as I was about to record, a teacher walked in and I was supposed to bring a note in, but they seen the recording and they didn't like it. Yeah, so I got into trouble. And I had to come up to the school. But everything was, it's all good in the hood. But what happened? My teacher was like, la 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 la, Nadia, you're in trouble, letter, blah blah blah, blah blah. I was like, alright, go on. So she went on and on and on and on.
Well, I suppose I was in school and I was doing very well in school, and I always wanted to be an air hostess. And I did do well in school, and I worked from a young age. Unfortunately, you know, I just didn't get the proper qualifications in school that I needed.
I don't really know what I'd like to do in a matter. Like, I'm not really sure about it at the moment. I know I said to you before that I'd like to get into business, because I'd like to. I always used to think I'd love to run my own pub, but I'm not too sure about that now either. Like I'm a teenager, so I'll always change my mind. So I'm not really sure.
Well, I'd like them to finish their educations, and go on and do something good with their lives, have a job, but most of all, be happy.
But I don't know if I'd consider going to college. I'm not sure at the moment, like, because again, I'm a teenager and I don't really like school, and like, yeah, I'm not sure about college or anything. When I finish school, I'll probably take like a year, a break off school, and then I'd probably think about going to college.
I get very frustrated with myself if I can't do things, and some of the teachers, because everybody knows each other so well now at this stage, I'm in my sixth year in the school, like all the teachers, they all know you so well, and it's like they know that, and I'm very hard on myself. If I can't do something, I'll get frustrated and I'll give up because I I'll be so angry at myself that I don't want to do it anymore, and the teachers will just leave me. Whereas, yeah, I will try harder, but just realistically, it's just, I think it's such an effort. Like,
I will let you all know. But, yeah, today I was in school. It was a very boring day in school. Did a career guidance thing in maths. I lost again. But I will have a good life. I will have a good life. Okay, we have three room bedrooms in our house upstairs, and me and Chanel have the big room, and me and Ma has the, well, second biggest room. It's just, well, it's a room, obviously. It has one wine wall with a flower picture on it, and the rest of the three walls are just plain white. My mom has a big double bed, and she has a wardrobe on one side, another wardrobe on the other side. She has a telly, and her bedroom is really clean because my mom's a clean freak. There's a few magazines here as well, and there's, what are these? Tablets. They are called Pregnant Care Original. Through all of pregnancy and breastfeeding. 19 vitamins, minerals, and folic acid. 400. Okay. Because my mom's pregnant on twins. No, it's going to be so hard, but we will manage. And let me see. Okay.
I was 3 and Nadia was 2, and it was when we lived in Ballymun, and me ma and dad knew a lot of people, so, and everybody was kind of close like that, I suppose you could say. And this one fella, I don't even know how it really happened, but he wanted to lend the money off me ma. So me ma, obviously she must have had the money at the time or whatever, so she was nice enough and she gave him a lend of money. And but only about like a week or two later, it was Christmas. So anyway, the fella paid me ma back about a week or two later, and we all went out shopping. And me ma, like, it was Christmas Eve, so me ma had like a lot of like running around to do, getting like our last few bits and bobs, like. And so I think we were in town, and we were in the middle of this shopping center anyway, and me ma had baskets full of stuff, and like just like toys and all for us, like. And you know, me and Nadia are only little kids, we didn't really know what was going on, just running around the shop. And me ma went to pay for all the stuff, and the lady's like, yeah, that'll be such and such price. And then me ma was like, yeah, okay. So she takes out her purse and she pays for the stuff. And the lady took the money, and she said, she goes, sorry, do you have another 20 euro on you there? And I was like, yeah, I have another. So she took out another 20 euro, and she handed the lady, she goes, hold on one second. I was like, is there something wrong? And she was like, hold on one second. And then the police got called, or the security, whoever it was, I don't remember that much. I just remember getting put into the back of a police car, and I can't really remember much after that. I just remember what we ended up staying in the cell all night on Christmas Eve, and we woke up the next day, and we were only babies, so we didn't really know any different.
And I'm laughing now because it's funny to think back now, it wasn't at the time. Somebody had owed me and my husband money. It was actually, he owed us money for drugs, and I went up and I got the money off him, but hadn't he given me forged notes? And it was, I think it was Christmas Eve, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Christmas Eve, and I was going in to do last minute shopping. And I was at the checkout paying, and I handed your woman in a note, and she said, I can't remember if it was 50 or a 20 pound note. And she said, no, there's something wrong with that. I didn't know what she meant, so I handed her another one. And I seen her scan it then, and she says, no, there's something wrong with that as well. But as that was going on, the police happened to be there arresting a shoplifter. And I was arrested, and my kids were taken with me to the station, and we were locked up in the cell.
And I remember I had
little toy monkey, and I actually tried to put it into me buggy. I tried to put it into my buggy, and I remember at the time I thought we were getting into trouble because I put the monkey into the buggy, but it turned out it wasn't.
I had no food for them. They drank bottles, no nappies. There was all sorts of people locked up. We were locked up in the one cell together. There was people drunk and all sorts. I can't remember how long we were left there. I think it was till that night. And then they thrown us out and told us we could go home. It was an awful experience on the kids.
But I remember when we got home, it was like, me dad had like a Christmas tree and all set up, and me ma, I remember looking at me ma and she was so sad, and I was like, ma, why are you sad? It's Christmas. And I remember her just telling us how sorry she was, but us being kids, we didn't know any better. Do you know what I mean?
Got off drugs. Oh, well, you were on drugs and all. How long did it take you to
realize that you were going down a bad road, to realize you wanted to get off drugs and all?
Well, it's been a battle. I'm 40 now. I'm only clean 3 years, so it's been a long battle, because I was in a relationship where we were codependent on each other. You know, one would get clean, the other wouldn't, and it was very hard. There wasn't as much help out there. Eventually then I did get onto a clinic. And then you're up against doctors. This is where I found personally, you're up against doctors that just kept upping your methadone. And it was saying it was for your own safety and your kid's safety. It wasn't as easy for me to go into treatment or anything like that because I had kids. We had social workers involved with our family. We had a big meeting with my parents, my siblings, their partners, social workers, outreach workers. We had a lot of services involved with us, and I told them I wanted to get clean. So they put a lot of services in place to help me with my children and help my family with my children. And I went in and I got clean. And that was it. I haven't looked back since. Now, it hasn't been easy, I have to just say this, because I thought when I got clean, everyone around me would be so happy, and things, you know, they'd be waving the flags when I came home and it'd be different. It was very hard, because the kids were used to a lifestyle of their mother and father being on drugs, and all of a sudden I was coming into this house and I was saying there's a curfew and I was laying down the law, and they were like, who the fuck do you think you are? They didn't want me on drugs, but they wanted me to be the parents that let them do what they wanted. And you see, that wasn't going to be the way. So we all had to do counselling, we had to do family sessions. And it took 3 years, and only last year we finished with counselling. And in the last 7-8 months, I'd say, my file has been closed with social workers. So it's been a long, hard battle, but we've got there.
I look back at it now and I feel sorry for the way
I feel like it didn't even happen.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like never happened. It's a completely different life.
Like when she got off drugs, she said this is a fresh start for us, and literally that's all it was, a fresh start. It's like looking back now, it's like that was like a different life, that was a different person. Like it was like that never happened. Like looking at my mom now, I can't even trying to think about like what she used to do and all, it's like it's scary because it's like that never happened. She's so different now compared to the way she was now.
Yeah.
But you know what? Everything that happens, I believe, happened for a reason. And it's made me a better person today. And I wouldn't change any of it. I wouldn't. Not really. Because I have different morals and values today. And I'm in a better place now. You know, to deal with my own kids and deal with problems that might come up. I'm not saying things are perfect, because I don't know. But it's made me the person I am today.
I think it's made our family stronger, yeah. Like, we have a better bond now, like, the way we can laugh about it and all now, because it's all over and done with, and it's like it was a different life, because we have such a better life now.
sometimes they look very alike, don't they?
Well, sometimes they do, yeah.
Yeah, it's, they're very, very alike. And you're looking at yourself, God, which one's which? It's only if you see the freckle on the ear, then you can tell them apart.
Yeah, well, yeah. My ma had a, you know, had two baby girls. They're twins. They're not identical. Their names are Ali and Alana.
Alana is very quiet. She sleeps between her feeds. She only wakes for her feeds. Sometimes she doesn't even wake for her feeds. Sometimes I have to wake her. Ali is more, she wants to play with you. And she wants to be up in the arms and she wants bottles. And then she, an hour later, she'll look for another bottle. So she's constantly feeding. So that's look the difference.
Look at her stuffed face.
Yeah.
She has a stuffed face when she...
It's like, I said it to me, ma. A lot of people have said it to me, ma. It's like she gets to start over again. Like, they get to go to play school. They get to, like, their first day of primary school. And even on Christmas, it's going to be more exciting now because we get to do, like, Santa all over again. And it's just very exciting. And, yeah.
Is her mouth hanging open?
And her two hands.
Yeah, she's a little bunny rabbit.
Basically, she's going to be able to give them what she was never able to give us. In a way, I suppose that's kind of sad, but we don't see it like that. We all see it the same way. It's a good thing because me ma's always felt so sorry for what she's done, what she put us through, and what like all of us have been through. But now it's kind of like she can get to start over, like the, and she's gonna obviously now because she that did happen to us. She's gonna do everything in her power to make sure that these babies have a great life.
I mean, they line the cots together, it's so worth it because they rub each other's faces and suck each other's tongues. I don't know, they just put each other's hands to each other's face and they suck each other's hands and tongues.
It's amazing. It was a big shock when like we found out and all, and it's not me dad's baby. She has a different boy. She has a boyfriend now, and he's lovely, and he was actually he was on heroin as well before, but he's been off it years as well. And my ma's been off it, what is it, three years now? He's been off it, I think, 6 or 8 years, something like that.
And he does loads of meetings and all now, and it's his first kid as well, so he's very excited about it, and he's a great dad, like, so.
It's lovely seeing it as well. It's lovely seeing the way my ma goes on with them, and just, it's lovely seeing the twins, because it's another way of her basically just saying sorry, I suppose. Not that she has to say sorry, but it's a lovely way of just, I don't know, like just, yeah.
I just like them not to make the mistakes that I've made, and obviously to listen to me more because, you know, I've been through a lot, and to listen to me. Sometimes they think, oh, we don't want to listen to you, I think, you know, they should listen to me.
But I was watching Justin Bieber video interview. He was all like, oh, I felt so sad. Oh, and I was like, man, you smile. I smile. Yeah. It was a funny moment. It was funny at the time. You had to be there.
Do you know what? Funny enough, I go to bed every night and I'm not a hardy person around and or anything like that, but I cannot sleep when I say my prayers, and I always pray for my kids, and I just pray that they're happy in life and they follow their hearts and their dreams. And the one thing I always pray for as a family is that we never lose touch with each other and that we always stay in each other's lives. That's the one thing I hope. That's it. It's not really much, you know, but I'd hate to think that my kids would just go off and, you know, we'd never see each other again type thing. I don't know why I would think that, but, you know, these things happen. I have a sister down the country, I don't see that much of her. But I just like to think, you know, that our relationship has continued to grow and that we just always keep in touch with each other, never forget each other. That's it.
But, not doing anything. Sitting in my bedroom, probably going down now, on Facebook for a while. All you Facebook fans, holla! Holla at my Facebook fans! Check yourself before you wreck yourself. So, over and out.
the life of Nads. 303.